Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Tennessee football is fun again. Good morning. It is Wednesday, November 10th. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. We're about to bring in Wes Rucker, reporter, columnist, writer for Go Vols 24/7, the 24/7 Sports Tennessee site. This is the most fun I've had watching a Tennessee Volunteers football team since Josh Dobbs, Space Dobbs, was out there. And I think a lot of Tennessee fans, and I live in Nashville, I know plenty of them, they deserve this after the Jeremy Pruitt years and after the transfer portal exodus, lost 25 transfer scholarship players. A lot of people thought 6-6 or 5-7. No one was really in love with the Josh Heupel hire. Here they are, though, 5-4, chance to finish 7-5 in the regular season. Yeah, I am chalking up this weekend's game against Georgia as a loss. The Dogs are 21.5 point favorites. But this is a great story for Tennessee, and it deserves some attention from us, especially since we had Wes on a few times in January when Tennessee was getting ready to rid itself of Jeremy Pruitt. Of course, we also had on Tuesday night the college football playoff rankings for the second week, but those rankings were revealed between the two late basketball games, the Champions Classic basketball games, and for our own personal sanity, we're just going to take a week off from reacting to those because that happened late. So this episode is all about Tennessee, and I think it's really interesting for fans of college football in general because, like them or not, hate them or love them, college football is good when Tennessee is good. And we're not saying Tennessee is like really, really good, but they are good and they are really, really fun. Here's Wes Rucker. Okay, Wes Rucker joins us right now. Wes, I'm going to guess that Tennessee is the happiest 5-4 team in college football. And I want to make it very clear, this is not a podcast episode that's going to do some sort of prediction on how Tennessee can beat Georgia or keep up with Georgia. This isn't what we're doing here. I just want to be fair because several months ago, we've had you on a few times during the whole Jeremy Pruitt Palace intrigue. And now that Tennessee's turned it around, I want to have you on to gloat about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Tennessee is definitely I thought this team had a chance to be competitive. I thought it might be a 6-6 team. I had no idea that Heupel would be able to get what he's gotten out of this team with the lack of numbers that they have. I mean, that they are, after they get through their first two inside linebackers, they're basically getting down to some walk-ons and stuff. They played a couple games with a walk-on right tackle. You know, they finished last week with their fourth string running back and they're like, you know, their backup tight ends because the other guys were all hurt. You know, at one point against Florida, I think it was, they needed a big first down at some point in the game and they gave the ball to the sixth guy on the running back depth chart who came as a walk-on from a D3 school, and he ran behind a walk-on right tackle and they got a first down. And it's just, I mean, it's, I don't know that they can keep doing it forever, but it's been fun to watch.
Hey, just got to get through the last month. So they lost about 25 scholarship players. I couldn't find anyone in Power 5 who lost more. That was obviously the big storyline for Heupel. And then, of course, the bigger storyline for Tennessee was Jeremy Pruitt and the Heupel hire, which no one was really like super blown away by. But a question about the players who stayed, Wes, what's their mentality? I'm just going to like imagine that you stay while everyone else leaves. It's almost like a big middle finger to the world. I'm going to play pretty damn well. I'm going to play for this team, for this program. You guys can go leave. You guys can all go to Oklahoma if you want to, but I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you talk about adversity and perseverance, and we use these words a lot in sports. We probably use them too much because, you know, there's things like, you know, people battling COVID or cancer, like that's perseverance. These guys are playing ball. But in the sense of just purely athletics, there's not a lot you can throw at these guys that they haven't seen. I mean, that old guy on Family Guy who's like, man, I've seen some things and some stuff. You know, it's kind of like that a little bit. It's like at this point, they're like, you know what? What are you going to throw at me, world? You know, how many coaches are going to be here? How many players are we going to have? Let's just go, you know, YOLO, let's go do it. And so I think it's been fascinating because those who stayed, I think Heupel knew when he got there that there was just not a lot of trust within the program. You know, they've been through a lot. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I mean, Hendon Hooker came just in January or December, and he came to play for Jeremy Pruitt. That's how sudden some of this stuff is. And so there was a lot of mistrust there, a lot of confusion. But Heupel and his staff, they sort of from day one were like, listen, we're not going to ask you to trust us. We're just going to show you. So we're not asking you for anything right now. Just show up to work. You'll see what we're about. And I think we can do some things. And in spring, it looked terrible, would be a nice way to put it at times. But they stuck with it. They believed in each other. They did some of those, you know, those old trust falls and those other little corny team bonding exercises. And they're a pretty tight-knit group now. And they feel like that they can overcome things. Like last week was the worst their defense has played all season long, period, dot, end of sentence, end of paragraph, end of story. The worst they've ever played. They gave up a freaking 4th-and-24. You know, late in the game, and they had already been on the field for like 100 snaps. And then it seemed like Tennessee for years, that's a game that, well, that's done. That happened. Now that's there's the catastrophe. It's over. But they got stops on the next four plays and won the game. They won a game when the opponent had 612 offensive yards, went 12-17 on third down, did not punt a single time. They won the game. It's mind-blowing how they're able to do some of these things.
Well, Wes, to be fair, those catastrophe games are when I always make sure to go to GoVols 24/7 to read the Wes Rucker column. But you know what? You've been doing that for 10 years now, so you deserve something good to write about.
Yeah, I say all the time, it's like, and I learned probably 8 or 9 years ago to never, ever say never on this beat and to never say that you've ever seen everything, because, you know, you go from like, you know, just think about the past couple of weeks, you go from Ole Miss to that. It's never boring. It's many things. It's never boring.
Yeah. It reminds me of what the Florida State guys are going through too. I had some known on the podcast a few before the season. I was like, look, Brandon, the good news is you won't be doing the rock bottom column. And then they lost to an FCS team and he was doing the rock bottom column, but they're turning it around. So Josh Heupel, when they hired him, it was at the end of another one of those crazy coaching searches, Wes. What were your concerns about him at the time, and has he alleviated any of them yet?
You know, I knew from the beginning that his offense was going to score points, because if you look at everywhere he's ever been, even at Oklahoma when they had some staff changes and he was let go, that offense wasn't bad. It was just okay. Every other year, except for maybe that 1 year at Oklahoma, his offense has put up stupid numbers. I mean, you know, he got to Mizzou and they went immediately from like in the 100s nationally in offense to like 13th and then top 10 and then like fourth. I mean, he had an NFL quarterback there, sure, but you know, his offense works. They spread you wide as the field goes, but they mix that with a power run, a quarterback run, and they run more plays than anybody in the country per minute. I mean, they're the fastest offense in the country. I knew he was going to put points on the board. My question would be, for the long term, can he recruit in a place like Tennessee? And the jury's still out there. We'll see. But if not, can he develop players enough to go out there and really compete with, in the long run, with the Georgias and Bamas and LSUs and Floridas in that tier? Because if you go to Tennessee and you run the program competently, like you just go there and do a solid job, not even great, just okay, you're going to roll the ball out there most of the time, and you're going to beat Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri, South Carolina, that group of teams there, Mississippi State, that whole tier. The question is, you got to do your job well to go beat that next tier. And Tennessee had a long way to go to build depth, especially after getting decimated in the portal. And I just wondered how quickly could he build a roster that could play his style of ball and be competitive. And I did not expect, I mean, even that Florida game, there's one fourth down play in the third quarter where they drop a touchdown pass on fourth down, just a wide open, beautiful play call. Callaway drops the ball, and then the game kind of spirals in the final 20 minutes. Alabama, that game is right there in the fourth quarter, and then, you know, it goes the wrong way, and Bama just kind of explodes at the end. But they've been in every game they've played. I mean, they're a 5-4 team that was a bit unlucky to lose to Pitt and a bit unlucky to lose to Ole Miss, and then maybe a bit lucky to beat Kentucky. So you're looking at what they needed to do in year one. They're doing everything above and beyond what you could expect for year one. What you don't know is, well, okay, they're going to recruit enough to go build a roster where they can compete, because you look at the recruiting rankings now and you say, it's not a good start. But remember, they just now came out last week and said they weren't going to self-impose a bowl ban. And the NCAA still got to do what it's got to do. And we'll see. I mean, the turnstiles there move at a glacial pace. So who knows? But people have been really, really having an easy time negatively recruiting against Tennessee, because the disaster sort of is self-explanatory. And so now they can show their brand of football. They can say, okay, we're not going to impose a bowl ban. Let's see how they finish in recruiting now. I don't think they're going to be a top 10 class or anything, but I think they have a chance to finish okay. But they're going to have to develop players, because Georgia, Alabama, those programs, they don't slow down and let you catch up. That's not how this works. You got to go hit a moving target, and it's moving at the speed of sound. So you got to go.
Yeah, the Vols right now number 32 nationally. More concerning would be 12th in the SEC. But I mean, yeah, my hunch there would be like they
they're not going to finish there. They're not going to finish there.
No. Like my hunch would be, Wes, that they hit the portal. You talk about the trust thing. I think they just need to show, you know, the Hendon Hooker situation to all the players that they're recruiting out of the portal. Because when he left Virginia Tech, and I don't know if you've talked to him about this or what you've heard, but his situation with Justin Fuente was not cool. Like it, I thought Hendon Hooker was totally damaged goods, and they've turned him around not to just competent quarterback that he always had in him as a highly ranked recruit. He's one of the best quarterbacks in college football now. 21 touchdowns, 2 picks, and I wonder if he's you know playing himself into an NFL future too.
Yeah, he might, because you know the talk the whole time has been that, you know, he's got a super senior season next year if he wants it. But now, you know, Kuiper's got him in his top 10 NFL draft quarterback prospects. So he has a decision to make, you know, kind of like Alante Taylor and those guys. He's got a decision to make. And the thing about Hooker is it's not just that he's performed so well. It's that even Tennessee thought Joe Milton would be the guy. And in camp, Joe Milton was, without question, I will go to my grave saying this because it's the truth. Joe Milton was the best quarterback on that team in preseason camp, and it was not close. And then the lights come on, and Milton's just okay. You know, he's not bad. People said he was bad. He was just okay. You know, he wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. But then he goes down with that knee injury, and then he gets Wally pipped because Hendon Hooker steps in, and all of a sudden the thing is rolling. And they have a lot of confidence in Hendon Hooker in that building. Javonte Payton the other day, who's another great story, by the way, he came from Mississippi State, where he wasn't doing much at all in that air raid offense. I mean, think about a wide receiver who can't get much going in an air raid. And then he comes to Tennessee, and he's averaging, what, like 26 yards a catch, 6 touchdowns already. You look at guys like Cedric Tillman, too. What they've gotten out of players is they've gotten about as much juice as they could squeeze out of this. And Hendon Hooker, it's not just that he's a pretty good player. It's that if you hear people talk about him in the building, you know, they talk about him being one of the most humble, mature guys they've ever been around. And I don't know, I can't speak to his situation at Virginia Tech. I know he had the COVID scare that came up with like a heart issue that he might not be able to play again. And I know there were some issues there. But since he's been at Tennessee, they've had absolutely nothing but not just good, wonderful things to say about him as a person. And I think that's what makes what happened at Virginia Tech so interesting, especially when you look at how things are going now in Hokie Town.
So 5-4, which already matches Jeremy Pruitt's win total in year one for him. We're not, you know, I'm not going to patronize anybody. I guess we'll say never about Georgia. But Wes, it's looking like a very likely 7-5 regular season finish with a chance to go win a bowl game. I mean, if you can go 8-5 or even 7-5, you know, if you can win one of those two numbers of games in your first year with 25 guys transferring out with the NCAA hanging over your head in an SEC East, it's tough. I'm sure they'd like to have the Florida game back, you know, and play them again right now.
Sure.
I got to think, Wes, like we're going to be drumming up the hype machine in Rocky Top in a few months if this goes as planned in the next few weeks.
Yeah. And it's interesting because even this week, like I think we all know that whether it takes 15, 30 or 45 minutes, at some point, Georgia's going to kind of put its foot down because that defense is putting up numbers that frankly, I didn't think were possible in this era of prolific, you know, wide open offensive football. But I'll say this, preparing for this Tennessee offense is like preparing. It's almost like a service academy type thing, because what they do really almost no one else does, at least at the pace they do it at. The only way that you can give your defense a decent look is if you play Ole Miss the week before, because you cannot get your scout team to understand what they do and run it as crisply and efficiently as they do it. And so Tennessee is just obliterating opponents, even Alabama this year in the first quarter. That you have to adjust to what they do, because it's kind of like one of those polar plunges. You know, you have to experience it to understand what to do with it. So Tennessee could make things interesting for Georgia for a while. At Neyland, sold out, rocking. Hey, Georgia's going to win the game almost certainly. But I think Georgia could get pushed in some ways it hasn't in a while. But yeah, to your point, 7-5 regular season, you know, South Alabama's got a good defense and Vandy's in state. So interesting things happen from time to time. But I think we have four or five people on our staff. One person said 7-5, Grant Ramey did, and he'll probably hold that over our heads till the end of time, knowing him. But the rest of us said 6-6 because it just felt like a 6-6 team. But not only to potentially go 7-5, but to look as exciting as they have doing it. I mean, you don't have to like Tennessee. You don't have to even like SEC football to watch their games and enjoy them, because they had against Kentucky, I think 5 scoring drives that were less than a minute. I mean, that's like it's a video game. It's crazy. And so you're not going to do that against Georgia, most likely. But every year, I mean, every game this year, they've had wide receivers running well behind the secondary every single game they've played. So this offense works, and it's fun football. Now, they need to get better athletes defensively. They need to do some things. But they're fun to watch, and there will be a hype machine going. And that's interesting because, you know, if Hooker goes to the draft, we'll see. You lose Velus Jones, Cedric, you know, we'll see, you know, Javonte Payton's gone. So they're going to have to replace some guys, but I still think what they're doing, kids in the portal are going to know that, and they're going to look at what guys like Hooker and Payton have done immediately, and they're going to say, "Yeah, I'm good going there. So I can play in the SEC. I can get good pretty quickly. I can play in a fun offense." These kids aren't dumb. They know these things. So, yeah, I mean, long story short, I think it's pretty easy to make an argument that things are getting better for Tennessee. The question just becomes, how good can it be? And that's something we can't know yet.
Awesome stuff, Wes. We appreciate you, man.
Anytime, Trey. You know that, man.
Thanks to Wes for joining us. Follow him on Twitter at WesRucker247. Interested to see how that Tennessee offense, which is 25th nationally in yards per play, fares against Georgia, which is, of course, is number one nationally defensively in yards per play and is the best defense we've seen in college football since at least 2011 Alabama. Our producer is Lance Glenn. My name is Trey Scott. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you on Thursday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.